Well, we've got another author in studio joining us today. She wrote a book called Waking Up at 40, The Journey of My Life and the Coming to Myself. Her name is Siyabe Dumasi, and she joins me today for a conversation on this wonderful book that she's written. And you and I get to have a bit of insight into it, her life, her story, her background, and what exactly inspired this wonderful book that she's written. Siyabe, welcome to the Daytime Break.
Thank you so much, Zinhle. Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you here. So we're going to start right at the beginning, right? And the first question would be, when people ask who Siyabe is and for you to describe yourself, what do you normally say?
Okay, I usually start with, I'm a child of God. I am proudly born again, washed by the blood of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I'm a wife to Tshepiso Dumasi. We've been married for the past 21 years. I'm a mom to three beautiful children, an 18-year-old daughter and a 15-year-old son and a 12-year-old son as well. Yeah, so I'm from the Vaal. I was born in Sharpeville, raised in the Vaal, Sebokeng, schooled there as well, tertiary, went to VUT, that's where I met my husband. I'm also a businesswoman. I've got a catering company called Moabe Siyabe, and the latest title that has been added to me, to my identity, I should say, is Waking Up at 40. I say my identity because this book is what helped me find my purpose and my identity in God.
21 years married. What is the one marriage advice that you were given that you just, you like, this one that you also pass on to other women that you've tried and tested in your marriage?
The one that always sticks out was actually from my uncle. He said, marriage is a rope of three cords. It's your husband, it's yourself, and in the middle is God. If you've got that rope, nothing can break you. That is the advice that I kept, and I still go by that.
Oh, that's a powerful one. Let's talk about the book, Waking Up at 40. What was happening for the past 39 years? Why were you sleeping?
Oh, I was in the wilderness, Zinhle. I did not know who I was, right? I would dabble in a whole lot of things, thinking that I will find my identity in this, in that, in this, and that. I dabbled in different types of businesses, in corporate, in psychology, a whole lot of things. But then shortly after turning 40, God instructed me to write this book. And through writing this book, that is when I met the real Siyabe. The real Siyabe, who's called for purpose.
Yeah.
Purpose of transforming lives. Purpose of strengthening the lives of the children of God.
I love that you've touched on the subject of purpose, because it can be such an intimidating, you know, topic for some people, because there's always the pressure of, you need to discover your purpose at a very young age, know what it is for the rest of your life and just walk in it.
Yeah.
And sometimes the discovery of purpose is not as simple as that for other people.
Yeah.
What would you firstly say, what is your definition of what purpose is, and how has your journey with purpose looked like?
Okay. So I actually spoke about this about 2 weeks ago. I was speaking to VUT students in an empowerment event for final year students. And I spoke on purpose and identity. And this is how I define it. I define it by Genesis 1, 26 to 28. Firstly, you have to know who you are, and who you are is the image and likeness of God, how you look like and how you function. And God is multifaceted. That is why I do not have regrets. Even though I've gone through the things that I've gone through, I do not have regrets, because my image, my likeness is like God. I'm multifaceted, right? I thrive in arts, in the arts. I thrive in accounting. I've got a left brain and a right brain. And then I further go on to fruitfulness, multiplication, subduing the earth, replenishing your environment wherever you're put in, and also dominating wherever you are. So purpose people define, some people define it by a career or by what I do. But in everything that you are put into, you need to thrive in it. You need to dominate in it. As a mother, I'm fulfilling my purpose. As a worker at Moape, as a caterer, I'm fulfilling my purpose. So it's not one thing that you said, okay, I'm called for this and this and this, and this is where my purpose is.
Sure.
So everywhere where we are placed, where God places us, we need to fulfill our mandate.
Sure.
And that's how I define purpose.
That's so powerful. Now, when I read through your book, right, you cover so many parts of your life, the story of your life, so beautifully. It's like a tapestry of, you know, joy and pain and loss and mistakes and business and a happy marriage and children and, you know, ups and downs. And essentially for me, that's what I caught to say. The theme of it for me is the reality that life has ups and downs.
Yeah.
There's seasons of highs, seasons of lows. There's mountains and there's valleys in life.
Yeah.
Right? And how? But the truth is, God does not waste any season of our lives. He doesn't waste anything that we go through. How would you say God has used, especially the seasons that you would rather have not gone through? You know, the business mistakes, the losses, the painful seasons, because all of us would rather avoid those if we could.
Yeah.
How would you say God has used the various seasons, especially those hard ones, to shape the Siape that we see now?
Yeah, that's an intricate question, but I would say it has built the obedience that I have now.
Ooh.
The obedience I have learned through everything that I've been through. I have learned to be obedient and say, Lord, I'm not moving until you say move. Right? If I am in business and it fails, and I say, okay, God, I prayed about this. I've gone through it. I've learned my lessons. I'm going to stop and reflect, and I'm not moving until you say I move. So it has built this strong obedience in me. Just like when he said, write this book. You know, I was, at the time when I wrote, my business was well established, Moape. And I was about to write a recipe book as asked for by my clients. You know, they wanted a recipe book, cooking lessons, so on and so on. And God said, you're not writing a recipe book, you're writing your story. And I went back and forth for about a year, procrastinating. But ultimately, I had to obey because I was asking God, why my story? Why my story? Who's going to be impacted by it? Who's the book going to appeal to? And I didn't get any answer from him, but I obeyed anyway.
I love that.
So it has taught me obedience.
Which will carry you for all the other seasons and for the rest of your life.
Yes.
Obedience is important because it also then means we have this reliance and dependence and trust in God more than ourselves.
Yes.
Now, you also talk a little bit about the disease to please.
Oh, my goodness.
Which I think is something that a lot of people struggle with.
Yeah.
Tell us, you know, how that was for you, the lessons there, and how you transformed as far as that is concerned.
Ooh, this one is a deep one, and I'm going to be quite transparent about it. And only through therapy I learned how it started and where it started. It started with me as a child, 8-year-old. I was transitioning from all black school, you know, learning in our Sotho language, moving to a multiracial school. And at the time, my dad was a headmaster, principal of a school, but not the school that I went to. But he was an English. My dad is an English professor, was an English. He's late.
Yeah.
And very strict. And he would tutor me, especially in the English command. And if I did not get something right, I knew that there was going to be punishment of some sort, right? So I made a vow to myself. I didn't know God well then, you know, but I made a vow to myself that I would work so hard in order to please my father, in order that he wouldn't, you know, get the opportunity to punish me.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And that developed into, even in high school, I would be pleasing my friends in varsity. In marriage, I would be pleasing my husband at the demise of Seapi, you know, especially the first stages of our marriage. It even in church as well, you know, when serving, you please others. You think you're pleasing God, but when you get home, you feel depleted, you don't feel okay, and you realize that I'm not doing this for God, I'm doing this for man, right? And until I fell into depression. So it was twofold. It was the disease to please, as well as the lack of healthy boundaries. I did not have boundaries. Seapi said yes to everybody for anything and to everybody. And and I fell into depression. That is when I realized that, Seapi, you're a people pleaser. You don't have boundaries. You need to start from scratch, find yourself, build boundaries. And I have come a long way. I've come a long way. If you were to meet me 10 years ago, I would be, it's a totally different person.
Sure. I mean, I wish time was on our side, because there's so much more that I wanted us to delve into. Yeah. But I just want to highlight, it's beautiful what you did at the end of the book. There's a bit of a treat.
Yes.
Why did you select those recipes specifically that you put in there for the readers?
I wanted to select recipes that mean something, that bring back memories. If you read through them, you would find the first one reminded me of Sunday lunch at home. My mom would make the best Sunday lunch. So for every recipe, I have a story behind the recipe, and then I tweak the recipe and make it Mwape recipe.
That's absolutely beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Seapi, for people that are listening that would love to just get more of your story and the wonderful journey that you've had with the Lord, the lessons you've learned. I mean, you talk about spiritual warfare in the book. You talk about so many things that you've gone through that I think are so relatable for the average Christian right now. Where do they reach you? How do they buy a copy of the book?
Okay, so they can reach me on my social media platforms, Waking Up at 40 on Instagram, also Mwape Seapi on Instagram, and on Facebook, Seapi Dumasi. Yeah. And everything is on social media.
100%. Thank you so much for your time. It was lovely chatting to you.
Thank you for having me, Sinclair.